Originally, Edward Steichen had wanted to mount an ambitious photography exhibit about America.
But then he talked to his brother-in-law, Carl Sandburg.
Wayne Miller was Steichen's assistant.
Carl mentioned the phrase, the family of man, and Steichen realized that the idea of something on America was too limited.
No, Steichen would take on the whole human race. Photography, it seemed at the time, was just the medium to do it in.
1955 was during the period of television, but before we were really inundated with moving images all the time, and particularly images that are in color.
Eric Sandine is the author of Picturing an Exhibition, The Family of Man and 1950s America.
The exhibit occurs in a kind of window before color television and after World War II.
Steichen now envisioned an exhibit that made the following suggestion, that the things dividing us in those years, communism, McCarthyism, racism, the bomb, the Korean War, might not be as great as the deep human similarities that could unite us. He set out to see if he could find photographs to prove it. Steichen hired his World War II colleague, photographer Wayne Miller, to assist him, and so began one of the most massive editing jobs ever.
Wayne Miller, in 1953, went into the Life magazine archives and wore out three rubber thumbs paging through every photograph, every file that Life magazine had produced. That's 3.5 million images.
The concept was so broad.
Wayne Miller.
I'm looking at a statement by Steichen of what he was looking for. And it's an exhibition of photography portraying the universal elements and emotions and the oneness of man. So we're talking about everything from birth to death to the struggle of man during his daily life. What I was looking for were pictures that had within them a kind of a little extra quality.
Miller would bring those back to Steichen, and they'd sort through them, and he'd go back again. When he was finished there, he started going into photographers' studios. There he found, for example, Ruth Orkin's pictures of children playing make-believe poker.
Not that she, Ruth pulled them out for me to look at, but I found them in the bottom of a closet she had in a shoebox, these prints, and it was a delicious find.
Studio after studio, find after delicious find, the collection built. The Family of Man team, housed in a loft above a striptease joint on 52nd Street, had submissions from China, from Africa, boxes of family photos sent from the Midwest. They pored over all of them.
And we ended up with a working selection of about 10,000 pictures. It was too much.
10,000, then 5,000, down to 1,000, and then down to the final 503, several by Eisenstadt, some by amateurs. Four by the then-young Elliot Erwitt.
I was a kid, you know, I was 20-something in 1955. Just imagine, you're in the same show with Henri Cartier-Bresson and Doisneau and all these people that you've admired from afar, and there you are, right smack in the middle of them.
These 503 photos were then hung in extraordinary fashion. Not elegantly framed, lined up on the walls, but mounted three-dimensionally, hung from the ceiling, some hinged so they swung out, overlapping one another, sometimes arranged in circles and always in unexpected configurations. The show opened at MoMA in January of 1955 and was an instant, unprecedented popular success. The museum had just celebrated its 25th anniversary the previous year, for which President Eisenhower had sent a recorded message.
To me, in this anniversary, there is a reminder to all of us of an important principle that we should ever keep in mind. This principle is that freedom of the arts is a basic freedom, one of the pillars of liberty in our land.
Family of Man's message seemed right in tune with the times.
In a world dominated by headlines dealing with fears, it may be good to take time to look at ourselves as human beings, as members of the family of man.
It was a huge event with massive media coverage, and not just in New York.
Cette exposition, The Family of Man, c'est-à-dire la famille humaine.
It broke all attendance records at the Museum of Modern Art and caused extra hours and long lines.
The curious thing about the Family of Man exhibit was that with all of its great success, it was filled with contradictions. An early example of a museum show with a pop sensibility.
And that was Steichen's intent. He wasn't putting together an exhibit as an art exhibit. He was putting together an exhibit that he thought would appeal to the masses.
It was an exhibit with a message, a 1950s message about living in one world. But it was, after all, seen through an American lens. Later, when it traveled around the world under the auspices of the United States Information Agency, its Americanness seemed even more apparent.
A drama of the Grand Canyon of humanity. An epic woven of fun, of mystery, of holiness.
Even later, in retrospect, it was seen as hopelessly out of date, ignoring cultural differences as well as artistic subtlety. And yet, it has had such resonance. It was certainly the most attended photography exhibit in history. It was maybe the last time still photographs were to have that kind of power for people as documentary images before TV took over. And it was a historical turning point as well.
Because right after The Family of Man, the world changed. It didn't have right angles existing on a two-dimensional plane. In 1957, Sputnik changed that. The world became a three-dimensional space with very different trajectories. Telecommunications changed. The delivery of annihilation from the other side changed.
In short, everything in this one world changed.
And after 1957, any one world utterance had to change with it. And so I think The Family of Man is at the end point of something rather than at the beginning of something.
And although popularity in itself is not necessarily a mark of distinction, it is fascinating to learn just how popular it was.
We can get some indication of what it must have been like just by tracking the number of Family of Man books that you can find all over the world to this day. It's the most widely distributed book of photography ever, several million copies.
A book that was on every 1950s coffee table, famous photo of a Peruvian piper on the front and scattered throughout. Sentimental? Maybe. Oversimplified? Probably. But it was a landmark. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishcoat.